Welcome to the weekly podcast from Ashford Baptist, an active evangelical community church of all ages and many nationalities based in the centre of Ashford, Kent in the UK. We hope you enjoy the message.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Good morning, family of God, ABC. Good morning, friends and well-wishers. Good morning. If this is your first time here, you're welcome. You're very welcome. I cannot think of a better place to go on a day like this. You've had the turkey and all whatnot. And when you're fed up with everybody, you come to church. Yes. God will have you if nobody else will. Praise God. I'm just being cheeky there. Yes. Our theme today is gratitude. Gratitude. I must confess that I have a practice when I'm asked to preach to go away for a while and let things cogitate, meditate, reflect, whatever, and see what kind of rises up in my heart that I believe the Lord wants me to preach about. And before that process was concluded, I think either Helen or Margaret, they corresponded that gratitude might be a good thing to reflect on at the end of the year. Now, I had thought about that, but not too deeply. And so I just felt, well, that's the way we're going then, gratitude. And it's interesting, you know how what we'll get into today. Now, the first thing is this. Are there any children in the house? Any little ones? Can I just see your hands? If you're under, what's little these days now? 99. Under 99. You don't count. You're not little. My brother's 96. That's why he said that. Any children in the house? Right. Did anyone get a gift this Christmas? Now, it's wonderful to get to receive a gift. You know, how many of us said thank you? Now, be honest. How many of us said thank you? Well, that's good. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we're not happy with what we got. Especially if it's that same old cologne you got for the last 3 years, you know. But glory be to God. Gratitude is being thankful for what we receive. It's being thankful for what we receive. I have a box here that I would like one of the lovely children to open for me. Yeah, come out. Come on, meet me halfway here. Right, so I've got this today, and I think it's for the church. So if I hold the bottom and you take the lid off, let's see what we got in there. What we got? That's strange. What's this all about?
God dying.
Okay.
God being born.
God being born. Wow, so we have the gift of baby Jesus, of the gift on the cross as well. Thank you, take a seat. Please put our hands together for this lovely young lady. Thank you. I never thought about that. I just thought, well, I'll leave the cross for another day, you know. But Dara's, she's gone ahead to tell us the gift God has given us because it is a gift. The gift of the cross, it's a gift. Right? I'm not so sure about this baby up here, but, well, I'm sure many a Christmas nativity play would have been incomplete without, you know, one of these dolls. But our Lord Jesus Christ became a baby, lived as a human, and as Dara pointed out, died on the cross to give us the gift of eternal life. This is the greatest gift ever. Now, if you have given your life, heart, soul, and all to Jesus Christ, have turned from your sins and your old ways, your name is written in the book of life. We're talking about somebody departing this morning. Edna's name was written in the book of life. That is the greatest gift. A gift that you will take from this world into the next. Just reflect on that for a minute. Of all the gifts that you will get, this one here, which the world esteems the least. Some people will get gifts worth millions. Some rich people, yes. But you can't take it out of this world. You can't do much with it. Christmas is a good time to reflect on this greatest gift that we have received. Now, many of us seem happy that we receive gifts. I could see it in our faces, and that's rightfully so. And when we receive a gift, we should be thankful for it. That's rightfully so. I want to show us some examples of the opposite, of ingratitude, which unfortunately is a sign of the times that we're in. You know, people were a little bit more grateful before, and I think it's getting worse and worse as we take each other for granted and take God for granted and take everything for granted, you know. But it has always been like that, even though it's getting worse. We read two verses of scripture. And I wondered if anybody was terrified with the first one, the wrath of God starting on Christmas. But there was somewhere I was going. Because in that reading, it says that although the people, and these were ancient people, these were people thousands of years ago, not now, who are closer to the creation story than we are, okay? Although they knew God, the God that created the earth, that created the trees, the sun, the moon, and the stars, although they knew the story, they weren't happy with acknowledging him for whatever reason. They did not glorify him as God. See where it started from. There was no gratitude on an ongoing basis of the things that God had freely given them to enjoy. The land, the lakes, the sea, the fish, the animals, the flowers, the mountains, the views, all of these things freely given. The Bible says, nor were they thankful. And because of that, their lives, their culture, and everything about them went on a downward spiral, which we are still on today. We have people whose lives are dedicated to proving that there is no God. Who cares, really? To spend all your energy just to be proving that there is no God. And outside of logic, to postulate that all these things we see came about of their own accord, out of nothing. Sometimes when you hear these things for the first time, you must say to yourself, this is absolute madness. But when you sit among the intelligentsia and the elite of these things, you get sucked into it, and very soon, yes, these brainy people think that. I must think the same too. They didn't glorify him as God. They were not thankful. In Luke 17, Jesus Christ healed 10 lepers. We're talking about ingratitude now. 10 lepers. He was going somewhere. They saw him. They were shouting, crying. You can imagine 10 lepers screaming their heads off, have mercy on us, Son of God. He turns to them. He doesn't touch them. Normally he would, but he was going somewhere. He said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. On their way, they discovered that they were healed. Only one came back to Jesus to give thanks. Now, I didn't think this was something worthy of mention. But Jesus Christ was astounded. Jesus asked, he knew, but he didn't know, were not 10 people healed? How come only one person is coming back to give thanks? And how come it is the foreigner, not the person who is part of the covenant, who knows God? That person went away with a blessing. Now, that's my second one, an example of ingratitude, human beings. In the book of Exodus, we learn of the painful story of Israelites who were in slavery in Egypt for 400 years, 430 to be exact. And when things, they weren't always slaves. We know the story, Joseph went there and they began to grow as the whole of his family ended up going to Egypt, if you read the story. in Genesis. But at some point, they were growing so rapidly that the Egyptians were worried, and they brought in a new political policy that they need to enslave them before these people become their oppressors, either by joining their adversaries in a time of war or rising up against them by sheer force of numbers. So they were enslaved. And I'm sure initially the slavery wasn't too bad, but when it got bad, they cried out to God, who sent a deliverer, Moses, that brought them out of Egypt and through the Red Sea. I've jumped through many paragraphs. However, you come to this very strange reading in Exodus 32:4. It says this: they made idols and said, here are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. These people were not the children of the people that came out of Egypt. It was the very people who saw the plagues that Moses inflicted the whole land with. And the last one, where the firstborn was killed and their firstborn was saved. God reflecting again to this in the future. These people were screaming at the Red Sea that they were about to be swallowed up by the Egyptians. And God decided Moses to part the Red Sea against nature. These people walked through the wall of water on either side. We're talking about ingratitude. It starts very small. It starts taking things for granted. These people got to the other side. And then, initially, there was dancing. There was singing. There was rejoicing. God had overthrown the Egyptians. But when Moses went to get the law from God and took a little longer, somebody came up with the idea. That they should build an idol. And he convinced enough people that this idol will represent the God that brought them out from Egypt. You know, one other thing about ingratitude is that you could decide that the person or the source of benevolence or kindness or goodness, you don't like it, and you can decide to appropriate it to someone else. I don't know if you've seen that in families or among friends. You know, somebody does a good favor, a good deed, and when the retelling comes forth, when the story is told, it's told that somebody else did it. This is what's happening here on a very big scale. But God is gracious and merciful. In fact, this incident was repeated hundreds of years later by another king. And that's how we have Samaria. We won't go into that. Who built two calves and said to them, these are your gods that brought you out of Egypt. For you to be grateful, first of all, you must remember where your benevolence came from and acknowledge that you did receive that benevolence and be humble to say thank you, whether it's a mortal human being or it's God, whether it's a big thing or it's small, whether they're your parents or your siblings, no taking for granted. Jesus, our Savior, shows us a better way. In fact, I was surprised when doing this scripture review. Jesus gave thanks a lot. He gave thanks a lot. Now, think about it. Why would he, with all that power, the Son of God who lived in heaven, coexistent with God, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He wasn't created. Why would he be so profuse with thanks? Okay, at the Lord's Supper, we know that he gave thanks. He broke bread and gave thanks. At the feeding of the 5,000, we know when he got those fish and bread, he gave thanks when he broke them. Lifting up to heaven, he gave thanks. He's revealing something to us here. Gratitude is part of our spiritual heritage. I know what ingratitude can do. We saw God gave those people up to themselves. since you don't want me in the equation, since I don't matter, since I'm not relevant, there you are. It turns out that in a world of sin, God was the stay in power for them still remaining sane. God is a stay in power for things, a lot of things that we take for granted. If he really stepped back completely and withdrew his hand, we will be utter cannibals. We will be really going for each other. There will be no law that will hold us down. Any decency that we have, I'm telling you, is from God. How about this one? Jesus Christ goes to the house of Mary and Martha, and Lazarus, of course, except that Lazarus is dead. Okay? He spends his jolly time waiting for Lazarus to die. That sounds awful. But sometimes God needs some things to show, make an object lesson. And he can do that. I call that creator rights. He's got rights to sovereignty. He's got right to do what he wants. We put him on our level, but we didn't create anything. We started yesterday. He created all things. All this was his idea. So if he wants to do something, we better pay attention and look at it. So Jesus Christ shows on the scene, and people say, oh, if you had been here before now, he wouldn't have died. And some were like grumbling, some were crying. And after talk with them, the place I'm going to is this. He thanked God for hearing his prayers. Father, I thank you for hearing my prayers because I know you always hear me. But because these people are listening to me, I am saying it out loud. Then he goes to raise up Lazarus. What an astounding thing to do. He must have been praying inside of him because his first thing outward was, Father, I thank you because you have heard me. And this was something the disciples begin to do later on. They will pray before they will lay hands on people and they will thank God and that kind of thing. Gratitude. Another time, he thanked God for revealing kingdom truths to simple, common people, fishermen like Peter, instead of the rich, powerful, the wealthy, the religious, the leaders. He says, he thanked God always. We too are encouraged to be thankful. In Colossians 4:2, the apostle writes, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Being watchful and thankful. In Philippians 4:6, we are to present our prayers and our petitions with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. It's almost possible to miss to God. And 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ for you. I must say, not give thanks for all circumstances. God is not asking you to give thanks for all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances. There will be something for us to thank God for. Because the will of God is our thankfulness. The enemy wants to rob us of our joy and our capacity to recognize we may lose everything, but this one will not be taken from us. It can't be. It wouldn't be. So we should be thankful to one another. It's a good practice. Parents teaching children to be thankful. Thank you, please. All those things are very good. I dare say they would have come from an assembly that is scripture-based. Our Heavenly Father is the source of every good and perfect gift. We may not like the channel. We may not see an angel bringing it down. We may not like the wrapper. But if it is a good gift and a perfect gift that blesses us and causes no sorrow, look at James 1:17, and you will find God is behind it. So, gratitude. What does gratitude do? Gratitude keeps us humble because you know that you needed something. and you acknowledge that you received something. Among your friends, if there are some that are not grateful, they will stand out. You know, or among your group or your peers or your relations or your family, it doesn't matter. I know that the Lord Jesus Christ said we should give and not expect anything back. And that is probably one of the reasons why. Because ingratitude is very painful. And God doesn't want us to be distracted all over the place. So if you get something back, fine. If you don't get it back, don't expect. Why would we expect, knowing human nature, what it is? You might be the one who has gone to make tremendous sacrifice for somebody. And by the time they're going to pay you back, they pay you back in pain. Gratitude gives us a clear vision of God. Because when you're grateful today, you're grateful tomorrow, you're grateful this minute, that minute, God is a real entity in your life. Not just on Sundays. He is active in all the details, the big details, the small details. When you're in junior class, he's active. When you're in A-levels, he's active. When you're, you know, becoming a career worker, he's active. When you're a parent, he's active. When at all stages of life, God is involved, interested, and invested. It gives you a clear vision of God. This next one is a big one. Gratitude enables us to approach God without guilt. Have you ever been in a situation where you have been blessed by something or someone and you forgot? And you got to go back and ask for something else. you know, and that's on a human level. Sometimes our spirits may not be able to reach out to the heavens because we're not grateful. And we judge ourselves. We don't feel we're deserving. We don't know it, but it holds us back. But if you thank God for the meal yesterday, in the morning you thank God for having a new, a fresh new day. Many people went to bed. Only a few woke up. Not as many as you think. You woke up. That's great. Thank God for that before the grumbling sets in. I tell some people in my line of work, I said, only the living can grumble. So thank God for that. Once I don't hear your grumble, I know you're gone. So gratitude enables us to approach God without guilt, but with confidence. And leading on to that, the accumulation of that is gratitude can build our relationship with God, can build our testimony with God. David, as a youngster, had a track record with God, like a score sheet. The day he faced Goliath, he wasn't expecting to face Goliath that day. If you read the story, it just unrolled. But did it just unroll? Or did God roll out the carpet for him? Seeing that he had found somebody who was going to be a better king. But in David's life, he was dealing with God in a transactional manner. He was a shepherd boy, and God played a prominent part in that shepherding. Whatever you're doing, bring God into it. Even if you can do it all, bring God into it. And God saved his sheep from being eaten by a lion or a bear because he empowered him to either chase it or to kill it. I don't know. He said he slew it, actually. He said he slew it. But God helped him. So when he found himself in front of Goliath, he said that the God who helped him to get rid of the lion, the bear, and whatever terrors exist in the wilderness when you're a shepherd boy will help him get rid of this one. But if you're not grateful, if you don't keep a track record, life will just pass by and every day will be a new experience. You wouldn't know the God that can tie shoelaces, you know, that can get new shoes, that can help you get a promotion, you know, that can do mundane things. We need to know him in that way and be grateful. So, what do we say now? This is the last Sunday of the year. I preached on the first Sunday of this year. Let us spend a moment speaking to God, being thankful for all that he has done for us. Starting with that, if we have received our Lord Jesus Christ, let us spend a moment. Let's close our eyes and spend some time. Thank God for what God has done for you. I'll thank God what he's done for me. And we can thank God for what he's done in the church. Thank you, Lord, for your mercies throughout this year. There are so many. They are more varied than we are in number here. Each one of us has a world of testimonies. If our eyes were open to them, we are so grateful for them. But we are grateful most of all for the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life. But before that, who came and lived amongst us, Emmanuel. And this is the reason for the season now that we are in. We are grateful for this reminder. Oh Lord, we pray that you will give us a heart of gratitude. We pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will work in us that which is good. And that we will not take you for granted, but that we will know you as God and glorify you as God. That we will not be ashamed, for you are the God that saves. You are the God that delivers. You are the God that blesses and redeems. And you are our Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this. To make sure you hear more messages like these, please subscribe so you don't miss out. To find out more about Ashford Baptist, visit our website, ashfordbaptist.org.uk, or follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Ashford Baptist.